Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Good to be back. Good to have everybody back. Well, Starrett, where did you go for Thanksgiving?
Went to my folks' place in the Northwest Arkansas Metro Blob.
Arkansas is a beautiful state.
I'm not disputing
not
that.
Not a lot of teeth, but a beautiful state nonetheless.
Up in the northwest corner of the state, there are all these different places that have all just basically fused together.
Yes.
So that's why I call it the Metro Blob.
And you went to the Quad Cities.
I did.
Had Thanksgiving dinner with Gloria.
We did. Got to see that baby.
How awful were you?
Oh, awful.
Like awful, awful, or just mildly awful?
My goal really at this point, because he's
was
7 months old,
arrested?
Is not to scare him.
That baby's 7 months old?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yes. Like, I'm your crazy.
Say it. Say it. Say the word.
Nana-ish person.
You're a grandma.
Nana-ish.
Are you a grandma or are you not a grandma?
I am warming to some type of title in that wheelhouse.
Cool story, grandma.
Yeah, okay, boomer.
I'll tell you this. We had dinner one night in a casino.
Uh-huh.
I have never, ever been in a casino where I did not stop and gamble because, you know, my light center, my like reward center in my brain just starts going da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Because you're addicted to gambling.
I was there with that baby at a steakhouse that happened to be inside of a casino. I didn't even want to go gamble.
You didn't gamble.
Nope.
You didn't gamble.
Nope.
Not one quarter.
Sat with that baby, not a dime.
Really?
Went into one of those machines or on those tables. Chris actually looked at me and said, I cannot believe we're not going to gamble. I said, well, we can't take a baby onto the casino floor.
Because you know who's really good about going gambling? Grandmas.
Get your cigarettes out.
Mm-hmm.
Whiskey. Just sit there.
And if you don't have the cigarettes, you have the oxygen tank.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right, I've seen that.
Because nothing says, I don't belong here, like your nose filled with two little
right.
tubes, and you're sucking in oxygen.
A cannula.
Feeding that machine.
Because you basically have, what's that disease called?
Emphysema?
Emphysema, yeah. You got the emphysema.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it. We've all seen it.
Nothing says I belong here more than I've got two tubes up my nose.
A cannula.
Yep. Yep.
We've all seen them. They're all there.
Oh, yeah. That's why I said what I said.
You know, I have never pulled the lever on a game. What are those things called? Slot machines? I have never.
Ever?
No.
Wow.
I've got vices. God knows I've got vices.
Yeah.
But that wasn't one of them.
I have never gambled in my life.
See, you want to go?
No.
I find gambling boring. I honestly find it boring.
Isn't that weird how some people just have this thing and other people don't have the thing? I've told you, I will offer up my brainwaves for study when they start dealing those cards. You will get a physical reaction out of me. My heart rate goes up. I whatever center that is in your brain,
right.
that is happy, the reward, happy, happy, happy place.
The endorphin or whatever it's called.
Explodes when I have cards coming at me.
That's so weird because, and I don't expect nor want either one of you, I hope you never understand this. When I would drink, the reward center in my brain went crazy.
Like my casino.
Probably.
Yeah. And me with food.
Probably. And so I have been in casinos before for concerts. You know, sometimes they'll have a concert up at Harrah's or whatever, and you have to kind of walk through the casino. I went to go see Kiss years ago, and we stayed at a casino because it was in St. Louis, and I had to walk through the casino to get out to the front door to get the cab to go to the arena or the outdoor venue. I can walk through a casino and not even think twice about stopping. But you put me in a place where there's a lot of alcohol.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, come on, man. Seriously? Where I would imagine I could put you in a place with a ton of alcohol, and you will, because I've never seen you drink. And you guys would be like, what's the big deal? I walk you through a casino, and you want to stop at every table. I couldn't care less.
There it is over there.
Oh, man, is he dealing?
There it is over there.
Son of a bee sting. Tell the story about what happened on Channel 41 over the weekend.
Why do you want to talk about this?
I find
you tell the story? You saw it, too.
Somebody did something unfortunate on the television.
What happened?
You know why I hesitate before we talk about this, and I've hesitated all day.
It's because all of us have done this at one time or another.
We have all done something.
This one was really bad.
So bad.
So what did this little newscaster chick do?
So we are often taught in our earliest days in broadcasting the art of the segue, where you don't just say... You know, you don't just stop and then say, okay, coming up in sports.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You're supposed
to have something pithy.
Ease from one thing to another with a common tie there. The common tie that was chosen was someone having a bad day in the form of Mizzou's head coach getting fired.
Larry Odom got fired. Barry Odom, whatever his name is,
and someone having a bad day because shots were fired at a shopping center.
And they got hit in the chest.
It was not the smoothest transition, and I happened to be watching it because we were waiting for Saturday Night Live.
This is so great.
And unbeknownst to me, Will Starrett also happened to be watching it.
So what happened? One of you, tell me what happened.
I just told you what happened.
What was the segue?
Do I have to go dig this up?
Oh, the segue was something to the effect of, because it's breaking news. And it was a violent weekend across the city over the weekend.
So I can paint the picture a little bit better, if I may. They have the sportscaster on. He's talking about Mr. Odom getting fired as Mizzou's head football coach. And then she has to walk it in, the newscaster lady.
From breaking news to sports.
To people getting shot.
It's the opposite of that. They were coming out of someone being shot and trying
going
to get
Mizzou.
To sports.
All right, so they were trying to toss, as we like to say in the business. They were trying to toss to sports.
They were trying.
After just talking about somebody getting shot to death.
Yes. And you know, I actually joked on Twitter, when all else fails, when a moment like that happens and you're coming out of something graphic and you're trying to go into something like a sports story, really the best plan of action there is coming up next in sports. Just
abandon the segue. Abort.
Abort. Abort.
You don't want to try to draw a line.
Abort that mission.
Between a shooting and someone's football career.
Have you found it yet?
I found it. I just realized she only sent it to me on my phone.
Well, play it into the microphone.
It's just, okay. We've all done it.
It was bad audio to begin with. I'm sure it's even worse audio this way, but.
It's bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
The whole thing is just bad.
So I guess it's kind of fitting then that the sound quality is terrible, right? It's exactly what an incident like this deserves.
Gerard, we've heard now some breaking news out of Independence, where police are investigating a possible shooting. No suspects or victims have been found, but police are still on scene. We will continue to bring you more details as soon as we get them.
Whoa. There's not enough drama going on there. We got some drama going on here with football. What's a Saturday without a little college football drama, am I right?
Oh, boy.
Some drama going on there. Some drama going on in college football.
You know, the other really popular easy crutch is switching gears now.
Yeah, just don't do that.
Switching gears now.
You know what the most effective segue on the face of the planet is?
Let's get to sports.
Up next!
A pause. When in doubt, pause.
Dumbest thing you ever said in your career. And not just today. I mean, like, you got to go back.
When I dropped the F-bomb that one day on the air.
Well, but that was an accident.
Well, yeah.
You were trying to say fun, and it did not come out like that.
Came out with an extra letter.
I mean, the dumbest thing that you actually thought, I'm going to say this because it seems like a good idea.
Ooh, I'd have to think about it.
Yeah, me too.
There have been a lot, but man, you really just put me on the spot.
Yeah, that's hard to think of.
There have been a lot. I'll tell you one, and I know we got to get to the break. There was one time this was prior to you coming on the show. Mike and I were interviewing a kid out of Lawrence who was 19 years old, and he still had his parents or one of his parents go on every date with him. They were from some weird religious sect, and his mom would sit in the back seat while he would take his prospective courtships to the movie or to dinner, whatever.
I'm guessing it was one and done with those dates, but go ahead.
Probably. And I remember I was just so mortified by this whole thing. I started getting a little vocal, and not to the point where I was yelling at him, but it was very vocal. And I at one point, I said into the microphone at a very high level, which is to say probably yelling, I said, "You have been brainwashed." And
yeah, you can't tell someone who's been brainwashed that they've been brainwashed.
Yeah, and so we went to break, and Mike leaned over the counter and went at me, and he said, I think you handled that poorly. And I was just so annoyed and frustrated with this kid. I don't know why. Maybe I was having my time of the month. I have no idea.
And he was a kid. It's not like he had a choice growing up in a cult.
He was 19. But I just remember screaming at him, "You have been brainwashed." And I came back from the break. I felt horrible about it. And I simply apologized. I said I was wrong.
I remember reading a story about someone who had been diagnosed with cancer, and I was just telling you about it. And you were looking at the clock, and you go, "All right, very good then."
Oh, yeah.
Did you just say very good then?
I wasn't paying attention to the conversation, and that was my fault.
Very good then.
Yeah, that was bad.
Okay, very good then.
Okie dokie, you've got the cancer. Very good.
Awesome.
Good for you, partner. Hey, friend. Don't die on me now. I mean, you got the cancer. Yeah, that was bad.
Last
second, sorry about that, gang. One of my favorite things to do on the show is to play awkward moments in TV news and look over and watch Dana cringe because she just does not do it
this
well.
Check of traffic sponsored by Indeed.
Hey. This one from KRON.
Hunter Pence is the National League Player of the Week, and the Giants end up with a 9-6 win. We should tell you LeBron James is going to star in Space Jam.
Well, oh, you mad because I already read that? I'm sorry.
How's Steph Curry's knee?
He's nursing it, and it's getting better.
Mm-hmm. How long have we been friends? 23 years.
I didn't know you were going to do
have
it.
Have you ever, and I'm going to say this with a smile, ever heard me say right before you came on, there's an irrigation problem in Gilroy?
You have to talk to Kasim.
You ever heard me say, "Oh, it's warm weather today"? Never. I stay in my lane. And it's just to a friend to do that.
You got to talk to Kasim.
I like Kasim. Yeah. So don't try and pit me against the producer.
Well, you bring Kasim into this.
Wow.
Whoa.
There's some bad blood in there. That was on air.
Well, don't you bring Kasim into this. Poor Kasim. I don't even know who Cassini is.
Who the hell's Cassini?
I don't know, but don't bring him into it.
And that was that was a major market television station.
That was Seattle.
It's huge.
KRON.
Isn't that in Seattle? Or is
San Francisco.
San Francisco. Yeah.
I mean, the point is that didn't happen in Killeen.
That was Seattle. Listen, when we come back, I know what I forgot to tell you.
What?
Did you watch, as you normally do, 60 Minutes on Sunday night?
I watched some of it.
Oh.
I was in transit during some of it.
They did a piece. And it was Anderson Cooper on the homeless tent cities.
Oh, in Seattle.
In Seattle.
I've got a story in here about
that.
Wow.
I mean, wow.
I've got a story in here somewhere about that.
One of the people who has no place to live that they profiled, Scott, yeah, worked for the United States Postal Service, a letter carrier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was a young couple with a toddler, and Seattle is freezing in the winter.
Here it is. Here's the story right there.
Oh.
All right, stop, collaborate, and listen.
Ice is back
with a brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly.
Telephone number here is 576-7798. If you missed it last night on 60 Minutes, here is the story, at least a portion of the story.
In Seattle.
In the shadow of Interstate 5 in Seattle, on a vacant strip of public land, this is Tent City 3. There are about 50 people living here without heat or running water. That's Ethan Wood. He's celebrating his third birthday. He's lived in a tent for the past year and a half. His parents, Trisha and Josiah, told us Ethan has an enlarged heart and suffers from bouts of asthma and croup so severe they've had to take him to the emergency room several times. Last winter, one of Seattle's coldest in recent memory, Ethan was sleeping in a tent covered with blankets, sandwiched between his parents for warmth.
Did you ever think, well, this is not the place we should have our child?
We don't want our son here. We don't want to be here. But as of right now, this is the safest place for us.
Absolutely.
Because we know the people, we know the rules, and
our family gets to stay together.
And our family stays together.
Drug addiction is what led the Woods to become homeless. For Josiah, it was meth. For Trisha, heroin. They were living in Alaska at the time. Josiah's parents took care of Ethan while they both got treatment. Trisha came to Seattle for rehab and afterwards decided it was a good city for a fresh start. They say they haven't used drugs in nearly 2 years, but it's been hard to find housing. In May 2018, they tried to get a spot in one of Seattle's family shelters, but there was no room. They didn't want to split up into separate shelters, one for men and another for women with children, so they found their way to Tent City 3 and decided to stay.
Oh boy! Oh boy! This is our new home!
Yeah.
This is our new home!
Yeah.
We're going to live right here.
Right there.
Oh, this is
one of the things I wanted to know in watching this, because one of the homeless people that they were unsheltered citizens that they profiled.
Unsheltered is the new word for
unsheltered,
homeless.
Was a letter carrier. She's in an RV. And one of them was an admitted alcoholic who had a great high-paying job as like a computer tech guy who ended up losing his job because he was late for work all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The piece seemed to blame the explosion in housing cost. Like, it's been a 60% increase in housing. And I looked this up from GeekWire. The median rent in Seattle is $2,695. And one of the things they said was, yes, we were addicts. We've been clean for 2 years. You try scraping together what it takes to have a place here and to put down 1 month's deposit, and then they don't have any history because of their addiction.
Most people aren't going to hire you if your address is Tent City number 3.
Correct. The number of homeless, Scott, and they categorize this in different ways. In Seattle is 12,112 people, with about half living unsheltered, which basically means out of that 12,000, about 6,000 are maybe roaming from shelter to shelter or living in an RV. But one of the questions I had just real quick during the break for Scott was, is it even legal to have a toddler with medical needs living in a tent?
But let me ask you something. The parents of either her or him, I can't remember.
Their parents, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
One of the sets of parents, either hers or his, decided to take the child in while the two of them got treatment. Could they not? I mean, imagine your children, Dana. If one of your kids needed treatment, God forbid, but if they did, okay, and you said, I'll take care of the grandkid while you guys go get treatment, and then your child, clean and sober, as they claim to be, and based on the way that they look in this video, and I watched the video and I saw the story last night, they do appear to be sober.
Yeah.
Okay?
He has a job. It's just not, he has a $19 an hour job. It's not enough.
Why would the parents, if they were willing to take the child in, the grandchild in, while they got clean and sober, why not take them in while they got back on their feet? I don't understand. I was confused when I watched a story last night.
Where are the other family members?
Where is everybody else? Because wouldn't you let your kid move in? And even if they had made some mistakes and got hooked on drugs or alcohol or whatever, and said, you know, Willem or whomever, Sophie, whatever, come stay with me.
I'm not going to let you live in a tent in the dead of winter.
You and your family can live in the basement, use my address for jobs.
Yeah.
And save up enough money where you can move out.
But see, if they were both addicts, Scott, my guess is they have used up every shred of goodwill that those families have. That's my guess.
Fair point.
I am looking up the number of homeless people in Kansas City, and I want a fair comparison to Seattle.
Here's my next question, and go ahead.
I just want to know, and I tweeted the mayor about this. That story was jarring to watch, to see the aerials of how many tents are right there off the highway and how many people are choosing to live in that manner. I kept yelling, why wouldn't you move? Let's say it is housing that is 60% higher than it used to be there and rents $2,400 a month.
Sure.
Get the hell out of Seattle.
You can afford to move from Alaska to Seattle, then you can clearly afford...
Scott, if you said to me, here's your choice. You can live in a tent in the dead of winter with your toddler who has medical needs. Or you can get the hell out of there and move to somewhere where you can pay rent. I don't understand why they don't move. And if you work with the unsheltered population, please explain that to me when there is a toddler involved. I just kept screaming, well, why wouldn't you move?
What I've never understood, as I've seen the story last night on 60 Minutes out of Seattle, we've seen, of course, Dana, the stories out of San Francisco and Los Angeles, and certainly with Los Angeles, I think weather plays a major component. However, the argument is always the same. It's just too expensive, especially in cities on the West and East Coast, to afford housing, then leave. Well, Scott, they're homeless and they have no money. Well, this family was able to move from Alaska to Seattle. They moved from an area where it's actually semi-affordable to an area where it's outrageously unaffordable. Why don't you ask your parents to give you enough money for a bus ride to Cheyenne, Wyoming?
And I want to be clear for the purpose of this conversation this hour. We are not talking about the homeless teenagers, and there are a ton of reasons why that happens.
We're not talking about mentally ill homeless vets.
No, the people they profiled in this piece last night
were perfectly sane.
Were adults. Just adults.
And look to be sober, okay? However, we're not talking about the Army vet who, God bless him, comes back from war. He's got PTSD, maybe got hooked on something, can't get out. We're talking about two adults last night on 60 Minutes who chose to move to Seattle. She did for treatment. He followed.
They are now clean.
They looked to be clean last night on TV. Yes, that is correct. And for whatever reason, they stay in a town where their address is Tent City number 3, okay, which is right off the side of a highway, which is no place to raise a 2-year-old child. Why not ask your parents for enough money for a bus ticket to Cheyenne?
And Scott, I think in a perfect world, it sounds so nice and tidy to be able to pick up the phone and call your mom. My guess is they have burned all of those bridges, my guess. Or they would not be living under a bridge in a tent. The homeless population there, where it is cold, it is cold. We're not talking about San Francisco here. This is Seattle.
Well, but it's rare for Seattle to freeze.
But last winter, it was, and they were there with that toddler. I don't understand how housing can get so high that it has created this problem unless there is something else going on. And I don't know what this is. There were some criticisms of the 60 Minutes piece online, and predominantly more conservative leaning folks who said this is not just about housing, although no one disputed that the housing has gotten much, much more expensive, that this is about predominantly addiction.
Mm-hmm. Nerd, that Christmas tree in your living room is 20 feet tall.
We'll talk about it later. It is a large tree.
Clark Griswold called.
I'm aware.
He needs it back.
I'm aware.
That's 20 feet tall.
I'm aware.
How'd you get to the top?
We'll talk about it.
Did you
it
have
later
to use a ladder?
Yes.
How'd you get it in the door?
We didn't. There's video.
Have you seen the pictures of this thing?
Mm-hmm.
I told you it was big.
It's 20 feet tall.
I told you it was big.
It's, yeah, the top of that tree is almost as high as your voice.
I won't say on the radio what I said when they cut the twine on that thing and called me out into the living room.
Holy.
Because I can't repeat it. And then I fell to the ground laughing.
Does it rhyme with holy
yeah,
bit?
Yeah, we sent holy teenagers duck to go pick out the tree, and here we are. It's hilarious. And then, you know,
who bought
you can't
that?
You can't take it back, so here we are.
Who bought that?
My
Ketzer?
Daughter, my daughter.
Which one? Younger or older?
The older one. It's so funny.
Sophie bought that thing?
She did.
Oh, my God. With her boyfriend?
It's all good. It's all. The memory will live for a lifetime.
That's the biggest damn Christmas tree I've ever seen in my life.
That is correct.
Somebody sold that to you?
Apparently they did.
You have a vaulted ceiling in your living room.
It touches the
It ceiling goes to the top.
I know.
I'm oh,
aware.
My God.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Who waited the longest? Michael in Kansas City. Hello, Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, guys. Love hey you guys. Love your show. Thank you for what you do.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. It's yours.
So I'm kind of confused. Did I hear Dana say he makes $19 an hour?
That is what they said in the story detailing the Seattle homeless explosion. Yes.
So if he makes $19 an hour, let's just say he's working 40 hours a week. He has no rent, no utilities. Even if they ate out every day, how can he not save enough money to where they could relocate? Like, where's all of his money going? I mean, I make almost $17 an hour, and I pull in about $3,500 a month after taxes.
For relocation purposes, I will grant you that, Michael. I don't know that it's enough for a family of three to afford a place to live.
On a $19 an hour pay, he would make almost $40,000 a year. That is probably not a livable wage in Seattle.
Correct, but he could save up his money for, you know, 3 months
to get
and
out
then have enough, you know, to get out to where him and his family could relocate, and in that time find another job in another city that he
agreed
could afford.
Agreed. I agree with you
100%. And Michael, hey, I looked
I love
it up.
You guys. I love your show. I got to go though. Thank
all right,
you.
Goodbye.
You're good. I looked it up. The average temperature in Seattle in January is 36 degrees.
Okay.
And I'm not saying more people should flood to San Diego or San Francisco. I just don't understand with that kind of climate why people stay there.
First of all, moving to San Francisco and Los Angeles is probably not an option. What they need to do, if they had a brain in their head collectively.
I think it's more complicated than that, but okay.
Well, sorry for simplifying everything. If they're living in the tent off of Highway 5 or whatever the hell it is in Seattle, and they're obviously not paying rent, okay? So they have minimal expenses, right? You would agree with that? Minimal at best expenses.
Okay.
All right. Food and clothing and diapers for the little kid. That's about it. All right? Save up that money and do not stay on the coast. Get the hell out. Move.
Really, anywhere would be cheaper than the cost of living on the
coast. I keep joking with Cheyenne, Wyoming, but move to Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Move to Kansas City. Move to Wichita. Move to Oklahoma City. Get the hell out of there.
Median rent, again, is $2,695. Very, very few people
can afford that.
That's right. That is a fat mortgage in Kansas City for a home that you own.
And median, for those of you who don't know, and I'm not trying to dumb you down, means half of the rents in that town are above that, the other half are below that. That doesn't mean average, that means the median. John in Spring Hill. John, hello.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
Hi,
doing
good.
Well.
I appreciate your show. Dana, love your laugh.
Thank you, John.
Mm-hmm. Will Sterrett, you are a genius in musical.
You are too kind. Thank you.
I'm impressed every time. I appreciate you taking my call.
Of course.
I live in an RV in Orange County, California. Back in the 90s. Sorry.
Go ahead, John.
Take your time, buddy.
After my first divorce, I lost everything and rebuilt that. And I did move here. And I built a career after 15 years. But it took time. They just need time.
Did you see the story, John?
Yes. I saw it last night, and I read about it today.
That had to have been hard for you to watch if you experienced something similar.
My daughter was 4 years old.
Oh.
And where was she during this time?
Her mother took her back to Oklahoma City. And so I was alone and broke.
And homeless.
Yes. I had no roof. I had a tin roof.
Can I ask you, John, do you mind, did you also have addiction issues like some of those that they profiled in the 60 Minutes piece?
Not really addiction issues, but I did have usage, if that makes sense. Yes.
Okay.
So that was one of the factors that caused a few issues, but I've been sober for years.
Good.
Over 25 years.
John, do you think it was an oversimplification in the 60 Minutes piece to say that it's about a lack of affordable housing, or do you think that's what it is?
I think it's a combination of both, in all honesty, and I agree. I agree with Parks, but, you know, honestly, I mean, if you have enough money for $500 to move to the town next to it, it's going to be cheaper than the town you're in. Okay, I mean, I've done that before, where I've been from, you know, growing up in Oklahoma to Orange County back in the 90s or in the heyday to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho to mm-hmm. New Mexico. I mean, there's affordability wherever you want to go or you should go, as long as you can make a living and be productive in where you're at.
Hey, John, we got to get going to the news, but I want to thank you for your honesty.
And for the call, John.
And for the call.
I appreciate you guys. I listen every day.
May God bless you always, my friend.
Have a good holiday, babe.
You too.
All right. You know what's cheaper than Seattle, Washington? Spokane.
I was almost going to say anywhere, but
just
nearly
go to the
anywhere.
East. Go to the east. Spokane, Washington, I'm sure, is a much more affordable town.
Listen to this from GeekWire.
It is, by the way.
Utah reduced its population of chronically homeless individuals from 2,000 people in 2005 to fewer than 200 people in 2015, a 91% drop.
Yeah, they all went to Honolulu.
It can be done.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.